Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In every rakat of every namaz, we recite the Surah Fatiha. Surah Fatiha is not recited, then the namaz is incomplete. La salata liman lam yaqra bi surati al-Fatiha. Then the very theme of Surah Fatiha is learning how to beg Allah Ta'ala from the commencement to the end. What it teaches us, how we plead to Allah Ta'ala, how do we ask Him, how do we beg of Him. Once that is covered, so that was as though ta'limul mas'ala. How do we ask? A sovereign, a king, king of all kings, controller of all controls, most supreme, nothing above him, nothing controls him, nothing influences him. So how do we speak to him? Then in all that, what is the most important thing that we ask for? Now, to understand the importance, the excellence, the beauty, the grandeur, the splendor of Surah Fatiha, then there must be a comparison. Without a comparison, you don't appreciate. If you only saw light, you didn't see darkness, will you appreciate? You only saw the sun, you didn't see rain, do you appreciate? You only saw beauty, you didn't see something ugly, do you appreciate? So you must see the other side to appreciate this. Now this is Ta'limul Masla, Surah Fatiha, translates as the opening chapter. It opens the whole Quran Sharif. So now what is the masala? What is the thing so important that we do ask in Surah Fatiha? So the thing that we are asking for is Hidayat. Now this will be appreciated if you compare it against the other opening chapters, the other opening scriptures of other scriptures. What are the opening chapters of other scriptures? Now you do the comparison, you understand it in perspective. Otherwise you don't understand. You say all are students, but now, who's excelled, who knows it best, who understands the very essence of the teacher's lesson? So both attended the class, but he's got null, and he's got 100, are both the same, can't be the same. So if you compare, do the comparison, then you understand what is Surah Fatiha all about. So, in the scriptures, Bible, the opening chapter is the Lord's Prayer, right? The Lord's Prayer, when we were small, then that was read in the assembly, and every child had to repeat it. Now they told us at home that mustn't repeat it, but read Surah Fatiha or something else, don't repeat that prayer. But what was the essence of that prayer that they taught you then? Then the words were, I can still remember, though we weren't reading it, but remember now, our Lord who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Then the next line was, now what are you asking for? You're asking for Hidayat. Compare that, give us this day our daily bread. Here we're asking for Hidayat, and here you're asking for, give us this day our daily bread. Now to understand this, see the do the comparison and you understand. So this life, how does it revolve? It revolves around a certain pivot. That's how it revolves. So know the pivot, then you know how it must revolve. Otherwise you don't know the pivot, you understand how will it revolve. See, the Quran says in Surah An-Naml, الَّذِينَ يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَيُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةَ وَهُمْ بِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ يُقِيمُونَ. So the pivot of the whole faith is akhirat. The whole life revolves around the belief of the akhirat. So how Allah Pak says, وَهُمْ بِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ يُوقِنُونَ, with a lot of emphasis. They are absolutely certain about the hereafter. So this one group who is absolutely certain about the hereafter. Now the Quran makes a comparison. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْآخِرَةِ زَيَّنَّا لَهُمْ أَعْمَالَهُمْ فَهُمْ يَعْمَهُمْ. So those that don't believe in the hereafter, then their works seem pleasing to them. فَهُمْ يَعْمَهُمْ. So they are distracted. Because now they don't have that pivot. They don't have that center. They don't have a point where they refer to. We've got a referral point. We've got an end. We've got a thing that we work towards. We've got a direction. Now they don't have a direction. They don't have a pivot. They don't have a thing to work towards. So this akhirat, what does it do to you? The thing that the akhirat does to you, it creates a sense of accountability. So you do this, this is the consequence. You won't do this, then this will be the consequence. You know, there's a lot of new Muslims, right? And don't underappreciate them. Many of them are very, very sincere. I was walking from home, it's like entered, I think I had to answer about 2-3 questions. But nearly all of them were new Muslims, right? So young, and look like concerned. So they're new in Islam. Now look at the question that they asked. Why, you know, if a person commits zina, then what is the punishment for it? That's the question, right? So I can understand now what they're thinking about. Then he said, alright, what about stealing and theft? And if you commit that sin, then what was the consequence? I said, see, one is an Islamic country. And in Islamic country, then first understand what's the definition of theft. أخذٌ بخفيةٍ عن مقام محفوظ, right? And it must be يساوي عشرة دراهم, right? So now that's the definition of theft, right? It's not just any theft. Number two is that it must be an Islamic country where the Islamic law is applied, right? So once the theft has been confirmed, it only confirmed if it was supported by some witnesses or confession, one of the two. Either you confess before the court or there is some witnesses to support the crime. Then such a person's right hand will be amputated. فَقْتَعُوا أَيْدِيَهُمَا. And for the law of Allah, there can be no substitution. The people said, barbaric, etc. That's what they said, right? But their own reasoning goes against them. Because they said that it's barbaric, they took it out and they tried to replace it. But now the prison got full, they don't know what to do. Right? Then these people that are the masterminds of the crime, they're running around freely everywhere, openly. And the innocent people have to live in prisons. Their homes have to have burglar guards, they have to carry firearms, they have to have patrols, they have to have a CCTV, so they have to have 10 type of security measures just for one crank criminal. The criminal in the meanwhile is running free, he is allowed also to carry on his practice. He can kidnap, he can hijack, he can kill in the process, it's all tolerated. But this cannot be tolerated. Because it is Islamic, therefore. Not any other reason, why Islam had to say it. So, if Islam had to say it, then we have to go against it. But the other crimes can carry on, very organized, orchestrated crime, right? Hundreds of people are killed, right? Robbed, cheated, murdered, raped. All can be tolerated. But Islam can't tolerate it. So, there's an agenda, there's an aversion against Islam. So anything Islamic, we can't tolerate it. Intolerable. Or Islam said, just chop that one hand and will jashad azabahuma ta'ifatun min al-mu'minin. And when you're meeting out the punishment, don't do it in secrecy. Do it in the view of all the public. The whole world is seeing. This man here came with two hands, went away with one hand. You think you'll get a repetition. One person's hand went, but everybody's hands are up in celebration, right? In joy, the hands are up. So the nucleus of their prayer is, give us this day our daily bread, right? Now compare this against the dua, guide us to the straight path. Straight path. So give us this day our daily bread. So now you ask for daily bread, easily or with difficulty. Right? That bread can come either with robbery or death, right? Either with stealing or honestly, right? That bread can come with problems and cancer. It can come with difficulty, right? So it's alright. But just that you get our bread. What happens the hereafter, it's alright, no problem. But this day, just give us our bread. So that's the whole theme of their prayer. And here when we ask, what are you asking for? The straight path. So in anything that you are doing, you need to have a path, you need to have a direction, anything. Smallest of things, or the biggest of things, and you have the right guidance, you are winning. Now, the rand price has gone up to 20, it's about just bursting, breaking point, right? All of us know 1950 or 20 is going to reach any time, so we all know about it, right? But now, say for example, you had the right guidance, showing you know, in the terms that you will understand. Say you had the right guidance about 6 months ago, right? And you bought some Kruger coins. Then, what happened? In just a few days, what happens? That it just turned. So if you had the right guidance, then what can happen? Sometimes when you think about these things here, then everybody is ever so sorrowful. The one that bought 1,000 coins, hey man, what stopped me to buy 2,000? And the man that didn't do any purchasing, hey man, I lost out, man. This guy's all gone. So, you see that? It's a different topic now. It's probably shifting away from my topic. But I'm showing you, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْآخِرَةِ زَيَّنَّا لَهُمْ أَعْمَالُهُمْ. The whole pivot, the whole direction is the akhirat. If there is that akhirat, then there's a direction. Why there's a direction? Because there is accountability. وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّي. You don't even stand before the Allah. You're accountable for the small, for the big. Discreet, the open. The past, the present. Everything, big and small. لَا يُغَادِرُ صَغِيرَةً وَلَا كَبِيرَةً. Everything is under accountability. Nothing you exempt from. Right. So now someone has got this consciousness, and this consciousness is lingering over his head. Is it possible for him to do wrong? Even mentally, can you laugh at someone? Can you despise someone? Can't do it. Because you know there's someone accountable. You're accountable to someone. So you can't do anything. You can't be off. Every second, every moment, every hour, every second, you're accountable. So I was talking about that boy, you know that. So I told him, how to answer this boy here? Because I told him it's applicable in Islamic country, but then he said, what about a non-Muslim country? So he's telling me this before I could answer, just make 2 rakat namaz and over. So I understood what he's going to say. So my mind went to that hadith where the worker committed zina with the mistress. Right? Worker, he's working for someone, but he committed zina with the mistress. So first someone told him the punishment is that you must give something, 100 goats or something, give it to the master, and that's the punishment. Until they referred it to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So he said, إِقَامَةُ حَدٍّ وَتَغْرِيبُ عَامٍ وَكَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. The actual punishment, the sheep, the goat that you gave it must be returned to you. That's not the punishment. So what's the punishment? The punishment is 100 lashes. الزانيه والزاني فاجلدوا كل واحد منهما 100 جلدة. 100 lashes. And number 2 is تغريب عامين. He must be banished for one year. So 1 year must be banished out. Nothing to do with this town. I imagine he's out of Natal, living somewhere in Free State, but in this climatic conditions, this type of the year. Kya hoga uska bichara ka? Sab khaishat freeze ho jayenge, bhai. Is it right? You never think of doing it again. So, what to tell this person here? Say, you must make tawbah for that for 2 years, properly, cry every day. Because I can't find a substitute now, but you see what the hadith is saying. But when they are talking of taghrib amin, what the shura are saying, that's subject to the discretion of the hakim, the qazi. He'll see now that this person here, if we banished him for such a long period, will his tawba be perfected or not? So, if he, in his discretion, feels that his tawba will be perfected, then that's the punishment. But if he feels that he doesn't need this, then it's a different thing. But now, in the tone that the person spoke to him, he said, oh, just make 2 rakat namaz and finish. No, that means, I must do it, make 2 rakat namaz and do it again. 3 times, 3rd time, 4th time, 5th time. So there is no end to this thing here. So that punishment is supposed to be nakal, jaza'am bima kasaba, nakalam min Allah. Jaza'am bima kasaba, nakalam min Allah. It's a punishment and it's supposed to be serving as a lesson. So now, you made it so light, then what happens? So alright, just do it and make tawbah, finish, over, carry on with life. So now, make tawbah at least for 2 years. Properly cry, tawbah, 1 hour, 2 hours every day. Then, inshallah, Allah will forgive you. Now, when he had to go through this whole exercise, you think he'll do it again. He can't do it again. But if you make it so light, say, alright, what's so serious about it? It's not a train smash. Do it once, do it a second time. But I admire the child's sincerity. He was sincere about it. His mind was locked up in the hereafter. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْآخِرَةِ. Now, you saw that one person who's got a direction. A direction comes with the belief of the hereafter. So the more the mind is locked up in the belief of the hereafter, then the more you're conscious about accountability. The more you're conscious about accountability, then the more you'll be right. But if you become subconscious or less conscious of the hereafter, what happens to your life? Now what happens to your life now? See, let me give you a small story to make you understand. So, you're talking of India three and a half centuries ago. Right? See, what's happening here now, all what's happening, there's a precedent in India. Don't think it just came up like that. Don't just think it came up like that. So there's a precedent for this in India. Indian history, we'll just check it up, we'll find this. And precedents. So the youngsters, they ask all these type of questions, then I will just jog my mind onto Indian history and I give them suitable answers. So someone had asked, just showing you what goes on, right? Someone had asked that this distortion of the verse of the Quran Sharif, everybody's reinterpreting, that's the game. So now, don't they have any conscience and they make their own interpretation? But why do they do it? Why do they do it? He's also a Muslim, he's asking me, why do they do it? And don't they have a conscience? I said, see, all these things have the precedence in India. 3 centuries ago, look at it, it's around, I think, Shah Jahan times, there was some Islamic law, right? Or Alamgir's time, when there was some Islamic law. So a married woman had committed zina. So it came to the law enforcement. Law enforcement says that she's a married man, she must be stoned to death, right? Now she came crying to one Mulana. So you get all types. Doctors, engineers, you get the quacks, and you get the genuine, you get the artificial. So she went and she asked that whoever he was, a crack it was. So she asked him, what I've done, and this is what the state says, make a plan for me. So you must see me right, I'll see you right. See, you must see me right, I will see you right. Now the question of the difference of hadith says that dhalla wa adhal, right? The questioner and the answerer both are lost. Both are gone. Both have been dispatched to Jahannam. The questioner and the answerer, because the questioner misled the person, the answerer misled, and the questioner knows that this is a plan. Right? He knows what he's asking is a plan. The man is making a plan for me. So that's not the law of Allah Ta'ala. He's looking for a loophole to take me out of this. So it's not the plan of Allah Ta'ala. He's just looking for a plan to exit this whole situation. I mean, a predicament, I'm going to go out of this. So both, dhalla wa adhal. This person is lost, that person is lost. So, only that questioner will be absolved when he goes to a person with that conscience and with that conviction that it's the right person I'm referring to. But she or he knows that I'm referring to the wrong person. That person is working out a plan for some type of a remuneration. But remuneration, I'm going to get something. So he's working out a plan for me. I'll go to him so I know I'll see. I've got a car problem, so he'll sort me out. I got some other material problem, he'll sort me out. So let me sort him out, he'll sort me out. So now both are unconscious of the hereafter. It's just a sorting out problem just to save name. So she went up to that Mulana, whoever it was. So, right, you see me right, I'll see you right. So, alright, what must I say? So, no, I was listening to a bayan, you know. And Mulana is educating that woman, tutoring her. I was listening to one bayan, and the bayan said, "Arey khabiso, tum zina karte ho. Ek agar bas na ho to do le lo, agar do bas nahi ho to teen le lo, teen bhi bas na ho to char le lo. Lekin hargiz zina na karo. You filthy people, you're making zina. One is not sufficient, then take two. Two is not sufficient, then take three. Three is not sufficient, then take four. So then one was not sufficient for me, so I took the second one, the third one. Arey, now the court now, yudharav al-hudud, yudharav al-shubhat." Now they said, the woman got confused. So they had to just throw the case out. Why she got confused? Because the law was for the man whom one was not sufficient, take the second one. Second one is not sufficient either. But she thought it's applicable to her. And when she thought it was applicable to her, she misunderstood the whole thing. So we just threw it out of court. So he had to shine up. She had to shine up the 1 million. Made a bargain for 1 million. So she gave 1 million, a small money for her. She gave 1 million, she saved her life. But you see now this type of Islam. So we come back now to that question of accountability. Once you got that accountability, then you can't sleep. One more time, Isab Rahmatullah. About 1 o'clock in the morning, he's tossing one side to the other. Now, if you're tossing, the wife can sense it, right? The first time you tossed around, she may not sense it because she's still snoring, right? The second time, third time, she's getting pareshan. Right. So she got up, what happened? Well, you know, I took about 1 rupee from you in the morning and I didn't repay you. And I didn't make an entry of this thing here. So that if something happens to me, then I'll be accountable for that 1 rupee. So, alright, everything was settled. It's a long story, but everything was settled. But you see that consciousness of accountability keeps you totally uneasy. I'm accountable to this, for this. When I'm accountable to this, I need to get all my works in order. My act, I must get in order. So that I'm not accountable. But now, that was the person that has got the akhirah. So he knows, he's conscious about accountability. Now the person that doesn't have the faith, the belief, the conviction, the certainty of the akhirah, right? Now think about it. Shia al-Quran Shaykh is saying, it's too beautiful. Just think about it. Sayyanna lahum a'malum. So it starts off, they don't believe. So when they don't believe, then whatever they're doing seems pleasing to them. Whatever they're doing. So they're going out distracted because they don't have a point to refer to, a direction to work towards. They don't have a point. Is there any point that they can refer to? Is there any direction that they have? Then if today someone wants to become a bisexual, it's alright. Someone becomes an atheist, it's alright. To become a Satanist, it's alright. Wants to become a socialist, it's alright. A materialist, it's alright. Want to become an LG, it's alright. Become a gay, it's alright. Lesbian, everything. زَيَّنَّا لَهُمْ أَعْمَالُ. But you see that what happens. Because there isn't that belief of accountability. So when there's no belief of accountability, whatever they are doing seems pleasing to them. Seems nice. Hey, I be how like it, man. It looks nice. This looks nice. Let's take it on. It became the law. So then they are going in circles, distracted. Om Yamam. So this verse brings you to this conclusion that to the extent of the conviction of the hereafter, your actions go in line. And to the extent of the weakness of the belief in the hereafter, your work go haywire. Everything goes haywire. Then you go in circles, merry-go-round. You don't know whether you're coming or you're going. But everything seems appealing. Someone is buying a car that seems appealing. I must do that as well. You just saw that car, or you just saw the investment, and it appeals. You're human, you are getting attracted, you got a feeling for it. But now, the sense of accountability is not there. When the sense of accountability is not there, then let's make a plan to get that car. So sometimes you're going to the bank, borrowing, begging, doing something, right? Won't it happen? And the second thing that can happen when you don't have that sense of accountability is, these people here, they buy these things on interest, and they're running around everywhere, they're running around, we have Umar, all that. But what they're doing, they're buying cars. But now I ask you, do you have any proper evidence to say that these people are running around for Umrah and they're living off the banks? Have you got any evidence? No evidence. Now, again, bring your mind, the lack of the belief of the hereafter, and it turns your mind. Right? Again, accountability. If you have the sense of accountability, I am accountable for my actions, discreet or open. You also, الَّذِينَ هُمْ يُرَاؤُونَ, what's that? Discreet. So, you are answerable, you are accountable. Allah Pak gave all that, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. So you show gratitude. So when you admire His wealth, when you're being grateful for the favors that you're enjoying, enjoying a house, you're enjoying food, you're enjoying good life, family life, children life, you're enjoying all that, your organs are all functioning well, there's nothing that is failing and collapsing within you. So do you show the appreciation for that? And I was showing the boys today, in my understanding, your level of health, your quality of health, definitely improves proportionate to the level of gratitude that you show. Small, big favors, you're ever grateful. Everything, you're grateful. It's coming directly from Allah Ta'ala, or indirectly, but it's a favor of Allah Ta'ala. Sometimes it seems a little bit difficult, but I understand it to be the favor of Allah Ta'ala. And then, within your mind and heart, won't you be happy? It's just an adjustment of the mind, and you'll be happy. Your health will improve. But just show gratitude at every second. So a situation can seem to be very difficult, but the adjustment of the mind will make it really, really, really enjoyable. I know some 15 or 18 years back, we had a Turkish Jamaat at our house, you know. Okay, our Jamaat Satis, they take turns to feed and all that. So they're having meals. So I can still remember the sight. They can't take one small piece of chilies. Hey, one piece. Thoda sa marcha dal diya. Hey, whole face is turning red and they're perspiring. Really, I'm telling you, they're perspiring. They can't take it. And I tell you, can you take one muscle without marcha? See, words apart. For him it's a big punishment. For him it's like he's burning fire. And for you it's a pleasure. You can't take, can't do without it. And with all that, you still want some marcha, some achar, all that. Some heavy hot works. Don't you want it? So, what was the punishment for you is a blessing for him. Can you see that? That adjustment of the mind You took it out from ingratitude, you brought it to gratitude, right? Now, isn't that a blessing? You moved it from ingratitude, brought it to gratitude, so isn't it a blessing? Just an adjustment of the mind. Mufti Ahmad Sahib, Dawud Barakatuh, was giving a talk, Spring Hill, those times, about 30 years ago, Spring Hill University gave it. Now, two people are in prison, one person is worried, hey, prison life, I'm jailed up, constricted, no movement, nothing. So he's crying away, miserable. Another person is, he's celebrating, you know. Outside the jail, I have to go to work, you know, listen to the boss, get shouted, look for a place to sleep, you know, no social life. You have so many people to socialize with, that such a big life, no rent to pay, only Allah Ta'ala to obey. So everything is free, for the house. But we don't wish for that, right? We don't wish for that, but an adjustment of the life, of the mind, what it does to you. See that? Adjustment of the life. So the mind is rightly adjusted, so long as it's got the belief of the hereafter. The belief of the heart, that hereafter, the yaqeen. وَهُمْ بِالْآخِرَةِ See, Allah is speaking about it. وَهُمْ بِالْآخِرَةِ يُمْيُونَ The whole thing revolves around that. That consciousness, that you're absolutely certain that you're going to meet your end. It's not a dream, it's not an illusion, it's not an imagination. It's a fact. To the extent you have that yaqeen, everything is working right. To the extent that faith is weakening, then everything is falling apart. You know, I get this business, it'll be right. If this thing happens, then it'll be right. I don't have it, I don't have this, therefore this thing didn't happen. So your whole life will go in circles. So this needs to be corrected. See the word the Quran is using again. Let me just repeat it once more. La yu'minuna bil akhirati zayyanna lahum a'mal. Everything seems pleasing to them. Wahum fahum ya'mahun. They're just going out distracted. Aimless, distracted. I got this factory, it's alright. I got this. What about my children? My great grandchildren? And Indians, what about my 30th generation? What's going to happen to him? That's how an Indian man thinks, right? My 30th generation, what's going to happen? And others, what they think, we lived, our fathers also lived, they made themselves, we live, we'll enjoy, Allah Ta'ala give us, he'll give them also. Let us enjoy, let them enjoy also. Continue with life. Don't worry too much, don't worry about a big fat plan. Allah Ta'ala looked after us, he looked after our father and grandfather, he looked after the children also. Not that we don't leave anything for them, but we're not so, we're not drunken with that thought, we're not consumed down with that thought. The thought doesn't drown us. So this whole problem is about akhirat yaqeen. When I look at it, so it was explained as a story, right? I have to start with all these things here. So, 3 centuries ago in India, I gave you one story, I'll show you another story, right? But now the story has to be given for you to appreciate what I'm saying. So, one person has become a peer. You might show up an alim, it's crack. Now you got a peer also, is a crack. So you get a crack in everything. Don't think everybody is a crack, Pukuna, Tasbih and all that, and he's a genuine person. So that's what people think, what Tasbih around him, he's doing, what a very muraqabas and all that. So, think of Kapunchiga, first heaven, second heaven, Kapunchiga, wherever he's reached now. That's how we read it, right? We saw some couple of dreams. But that's not the criterion of the Quran, so you see dreams, a dream will measure your righteousness. That's not the criterion. The whole Quran has given a whole criterion of progress. That's not the way the Quran says, look at dreams and you measure your piety from that. You measure your piety on righteousness. The righteousness is given. Qadaflaha minun alladhina ibadur rahman alladhina. So the whole criterion is given there. Now, we shifted the whole criterion of the Quran Sharif to dreams. Is that fair to the Quran Sharif? Quran Sharif is sort of amal, zahiri and batin. And we're talking of dreams. Whereas in our day-to-day life, okay, someone talks about dreams, will you be influenced? Will you be affected? I'm owing you 50 million rand. You know what I dream? I saw about you. That Allah gave you 500 billion. You will say that everything is bad. You won't say that. Why? Shaya mali. No, sir. In those days, they say, Shaya tafulen. If you hear that, more. You know what this is of dreams? That you want to talk about amal. Get the thing, zahiri and batin, get that right. Dreams we'll talk about some other time, but now talk about. So we're talking of India 3 centuries ago. Shah Abdul Aziz around this time. Coinciding with Alamgir at that time, right? So this one, crack peer. So that crack peer is telling us, Shah Sabra. My life is full of constriction. This is haram, that is haram, this is makruh, this is haram, this is la'ana, this is curse, everything. My life is a life of ease and freedom. Drink, alcohol, womanize, gamble, no namaz, everything is free. There's a few things I'll teach you how to hypnotize and get the person's mind, you know. So you can manipulate him. You hypnotize the mind and you can manipulate the person. So what a life of freedom. See what I'm trying. Drink, woman, gambling, everything, drugging, everything you can do. And your mind is that this is haram, that is a curse, this is makruh, this is... My life is a pleasure. You can do anything, everything, any haram thing. You can just change names, distort. The kafir also is alright. Muraba is alright. Everything is right. Everything is right. Woman, talk to them is right. Find a hadith for that. Everything is right. Mixing up with them, talking with them, and chatting over the radio, all is right. Who is saying this? Chatting over the radio, with woman, talking, giggling with young woman, all that is right. Any type of money transaction is right. Interacting with them is right. Everything is right. Nothing haram. So why are you making a noise of it? So now, Shah Sahib is telling the person, see, so tell me about your life story. So, for 9 months you were constrained, constricted. Then you came to the surface, you came to the Mother Earth, right? Then again, you were constricted to the pram. You needed the care, the attention, you couldn't move. After 8-9 months, then you start moving around, right? 9 months, 10 months, 1 year, start moving around. Then you constricted to the house, you can't move. Then you came over 2 years, then you constricted now, you can't do this, you can't go do this. You open the kitchen cupboards and they're hitting you for that, right? Breaking the utensils and locking up, tying it up with ribbons and all that, right? All that all happened. Then you come 4 or 5 years old of age, then they're sending you to the preschool and all that. Then you're constricted again, your place, your time, everything is constricted. You can't, don't have the choice of your, you don't have freedom. Then now you were enlisted in the army. And when you were enlisted in the army and you went to school, primary and senior, constricted to time and place. If you came with a delay, then the prefect had reported you and you caught it in the office, right? Didn't happen. Army also, you were constricted to do this type of training and exercises. You were constricted, right? And now too, as you appear, so your peer, your order says, Char Abruo Kesafaya. That you must shave off 4 types of hairs. The hair of the head, eyebrows, moustache, and the beard. So, phir ye kya ho? It's aloo hai, insan ka hai. No beard, nothing. So what you're out with it. So you're all under constriction. So you also constricted, I'm also constricted. You also locked up, I'm also locked up. But the goodness of my restriction is divinely endorsed. Is not counterfeit. What I'm doing, my constriction is divinely endorsed. Because it is endorsed by the hereafter. And yours is made up, is counterfeit. When it's counterfeit, then you take it to the customer heavens immediately. You brought in to South Africa $50 million dollars, right? All counterfeit. What do they tell you? What do they do? Take it, but don't use it. Will they have that attitude? Will they have that attitude? They got you for that $50 million. All counterfeit. What will happen to you? Straight away within Makhli, isn't it? So the moment you hit the grave and you're gone. So the moment we hit the grave, inshallah, everything will open up for us. Every type of perceivable pleasure will open up for us. And for you, every type of perceivable problem will just open up from the death. قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ. So every type of perceivable blessing, enjoyment, luxury, comfort just opens out. Why? تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ. Now, from now, don't fear, no grief, no pain. No, don't stress now, boy. Don't stress. Stress time is finished now. Take as you want. Take as you want. نُزُورًا مِّنْ غَفُورِ الرَّحِيمِ. This is a special, it's compliments. Looking for the day that you today. compliments from Ghafurir Rahim. Compliments, take it, enjoy. As you want, enjoy, take. There's no end to your happiness. لَا يَبْغُونَ عَنْهَا حِوَلَى. Here the best of bra you ate 2 days, 3 days in a row. After I said, Abhay Thaki, give me my khari kichri. Wouldn't you say that? It's alright now. That 1-2 days, in 2-3 months it's alright. But every day, you know, every second week, it was, ki barabar nahi ke bhai, it doesn't look right. Give me my khari kichri, give my mug, my dar, my masoor, give me all that, right? So, you get tired. And there, لَا يَبْغُونَ عَنْهَا حِوَلَى. It's so exciting, so thrilling. Everything is just a new experience. So, experience is just rolling. One experience to the another, third to the fourth. And trillions of experiences you go through, never ending.